Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
If you have a teenager, or a niece or a nephew who's a teenager, or a grandchild who's a teenager, have you ever tried to explain to them why we used to have to go an entire week to wait for the next episode of our TV show? Have you ever tried to explain that to them, or the how we had to actually memorize phone numbers rather than just tapping on a screen, right? They're kind of like, what are you talking about? Or how about this one? Try explaining to them that you used to have to rewind the VHS tape. Because if you didn't rewind the tape, well, you'd go to turn it in and they'd charge you, right? Anybody remember this, for those of you who date yourself here? And there was a famous phrase that went along with all that said, be kind. And some of you like have no idea what that is. You don't even know what rewinding is. But for some of us, that's what it was. The world has changed drastically and dramatically in the last couple of decades. And every year, there's this resource called the Mindset List. And it's a snapshot of what the incoming college freshmen think is normal for them and what they've grown up with. Leaders in the institutions, but also around the world, pay attention to this list because it lets them know and shows them how easy it is to lose touch with the current generation. And so the freshmen who started college this past fall, class of 2029, they were all born about 2007, maybe 2006, maybe 2008. Here on the list is part of the list of the world that they have always known. Number one, the iPhone has always existed in their lives. Always. Streaming has always been the way that you watch TV. No waiting, no schedules. Social media has always shaped for them how people actually connect, how people actually communicate, and even how people compare together and amongst one another. When it comes to finding help or searching for help, you didn't go to an Encyclopedia Britannica or something like that. They've never known a world where if you needed to know something, you didn't look it up on Google or some AI platform. This is an interesting one. It's highly unlikely that they were ever coupled with somebody outside of their political tribe. Pretty interesting. And then how about this one? Iron Man Cal Ripken Jr. Some of you are like, who is that? So raise your hand if you know who that is. Okay? Cal Ripken Jr. in their lifetime has always resided in the Hall of Fame. They were among the very first baby pictures ever posted online on Facebook. And then Taylor Swift has always been one of the biggest names in music, constantly reinventing herself. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has always been more movie star than pro wrestler. And then finally, the Avengers kicked off a universe that's basically always been around for them. Just part of the list. That's their normal. That's their baseline. That's the lens by which they see everything. Listen, we need to understand our culture impacts us. Our culture has tremendous influence on us, but our culture isn't really the problem for us. The problem is when we let culture do inside of us. The problem is when how we allow culture to shape us. Now, the scriptures will tell us this. Scriptures will say, hey, don't bail on culture. Don't go live off in the woods somewhere. Scripture calls us to engage culture. Scripture calls us to reach culture, to influence culture, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with our culture. But at the same time, Scripture tells you and I, be careful. Be careful. Scripture calls us to push back against the pull of culture, to avoid certain parts of culture, to be careful who you run with, because who you run with will ultimately run you. The voices that you are listening to, they shape you, and they shape who you ultimately become. many of us, we've heard the expression, birds of a feather flock together. Now, that's not only a fact of nature, that's a fact of human nature. Who you choose to follow, who you choose to flock with, will have influence over you for good and for bad. And that's why friendship, that's why it's like connection, who you're flocking together with, fellowship, that's why doing that with the right people is critical for our lives. C.S. Lewis called friendship a school of virtue or a school of vice. And he wrote this. He said, friendships make good people better and bad people worse. So here's the question. Who's making you better? Who in your life is making you better? And who in your life is pulling you in the wrong direction? Who's making you worse? And that's really ultimately what Solomon's advice to us today is all about. Solomon is telling you and I, watch your circle. Watch who you're flocking together with. But right before he gets to this advice, he leads with this, and we're going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. If you weren't here last week, I highly encourage you. You want to go back. You want to listen to the message. It's really important, kind of sets the whole stage for this. And as we talked about last week, one of the reasons we're doing Proverbs as a series is because as we discovered in Proverbs, a proverb a day, let's finish it together, a proverb a day keeps the stupid away from our life, right? So we want to pay attention to Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Solomon says, hey, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Solomon leads off and says, hey, before you ever listen to your friends, before you ever pay attention to your culture or listen to your culture, before you ever listen to podcasts or listen to influencers, Solomon says you need to pay attention to what mom and dad say. You need to listen to them. The first circle in our lives that we flock together with that matter most is family. Now, there's a very unwise message that is showing up in our culture today. You'll hear it in therapy language. You'll hear it on social media and on the various platforms. And it says this. It says, you don't really need to pay attention to your parents' wisdom or advice. In fact, you don't really need your parents. Create distance from them. Set boundaries. Do your own thing. Figure it out on your own. In fact, Oprah actually did a podcast recently, about 4 months ago, about the rising trend of people going no contact with their families. It blew up in 4 months. It has about 5.4 million views on YouTube. The hashtag no contact has over a billion views on it. I was mentioning this last service, and someone came up to me and they said, man, my granddaughter said that to me, and I didn't know what it was until you talked about it today. And she said her 12-year-old granddaughter said to her, Grandma, I've gone no contact with you. 12 years old. Now, of course, boundaries are healthy. But what we're seeing in culture right now goes beyond that. We're starting to normalize a mindset that says, you don't need their voice. You don't need their wisdom in your life. You don't even need to include them in your lives. You don't need them in your circle. And in California, it's showing up in policy conversations as well. School districts across our state have created policies where teachers do not need to notify parents about certain issues related to their children, such as sexual health services or also reproductive health decisions. Also, if a student asks to use a different name or pronoun at school, teachers in many districts do not have to notify the parents. Kids can literally hide from their parents. So, think about it with me. When a generation hears over and over and over again, you don't need your family involved. You don't need your parents involved. You can keep information from them. How's that going to influence them? How's that going to shape them? well, you better believe that's going to shape and affect and influence how they think about authority, how they think about wisdom, how they think about where they get their wisdom, about where they get their guidance. It'll affect even how they think about relationships that they have altogether. Proverbs steps right into that moment, and it says to us, if that's the path somebody's going, that's not wisdom. Solomon says, son, listen to me. Listen to your father. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. Not because parents are perfect, but because God designed wisdom to be passed down through that vital relationship in our life. I love how the Good News Translation states the next verse. It says this, your parents, their teaching will improve your character. So here's the question. Am I going to push away the voices in my life that matter most, that care about me most? Or am I going to lean in and learn from them? Solomon, he tells us here, it's wise to lean into those relationships that God created. Solomon says, son, I want you to pay attention to me. Parents, sometimes don't you kind of beat your head with that? Like you tell on your kids, hey, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. Solomon's saying to the parents, hey, or to the son, don't marginalize their voice. Pay attention. Listen to them. Listen to their wisdom. Listen to their instruction. And so Solomon kicks off, tells us all about wisdom. That's what we talked about last week. He says, son, pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to share all this wisdom with you. And then what comes next? What's the very first piece of advice that Solomon offers his son? Let's pick it up. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. It says this, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of, if we do this, think of all the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff that we take. So when the wrong crowd, when the wrong voices offer an invitation to join them, to participate, to pay attention to them, Proverbs says the wise person says no to that. When temptation shows up in our life, how does it start? It always starts small, right? It's just that enticing, casual, hey, come along with us. Hey, come hang out with us. It's cool, you can do this. Hey, it's okay, go ahead and listen to this social media influencer. Just check it out. Just you don't have to pay close attention. Just check it out. But in that moment, you have to decide, am I going there or not? See, most of us, we don't blow our lives up with one big decision. What happens? It's the series of small yeses that eventually lead us to a place that we never planned. And so that's why wisdom says, don't wait. Don't wait till you're knee deep in it. Shut it down early. The strongest no that we can give is that very first one. So if there's a person who's starting to cross a line in your life, maybe they're flirting, or maybe they're starting to text you late, or getting too personal with you, and it's somebody who shouldn't be doing that, the time to say no isn't after you've built an emotional connection. It's the first time that conversation shifted. And you don't entertain it. You don't play along with it. You shut that down early. If you're maybe struggling with something online, whether maybe that's a gambling, which is an epidemic right now, or pornography, which is even worse, or doom scrolling, you don't wait until you're tired and worn out and alone and already into it to say, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. You decide ahead of time. I'm not going there. I'm not clicking there. You pre-decide. The Bible says that's wisdom. I heard this a phrase years ago, and it's just always stuck with me. And it says this, why in the world would I resist temptation in the future when I have the power to eliminate it today? Why put myself in a position later and then I have to resist and resist and resist? If I have the power right now to eliminate it today, I pre-decide. No. No matter what it is, when you and I are in the moment, it gets harder to resist. The pressure is higher. The emotions are higher. When our emotions are higher, wisdom is low. Your guard is down. What's the wise thing to do? Solomon says the wise thing is to say no up front so that you don't have to be sucked in and find yourself trying to say no constantly later. Daniel provides an incredible example of this for us. Some of you might know Daniel's story. He lived in Israel. The Babylonians came. They conquered Israel. They conquered the city of Jerusalem. And then they took people, young men like Daniel and others, along with his friends, and they took them back to Babylon to retrain them and to indoctrinate them into the culture of Babylon. One step of that indoctrination was that they were going to change Daniel's name and his friends' names to Babylonian names. Now, Daniel, that name Daniel means God is my judge. They changed his name to Belshazzar, which means the prince of Baal, which was a false god. I mean, you talk about trying to erase somebody's identity, changing their name. God is my judge to no, you're the prince of Baal. It was part of the systematic plan to overwhelm Daniel with this culture, this new culture that would ultimately lead him, they would hope, to abandoning the one true God. Now, what's interesting about Daniel, if you know his story, he didn't end up resisting the educational system of Babylon. He wasn't griping and complaining about the professors. He didn't pull himself out of school. In fact, he actually excelled in it. But what he did refuse, what he said no to, was when culture tried to get him to sin. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "But Daniel resolved." Some translations say Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Now, he didn't say that because he was like, you know, picky or something. He did that because he did not want to violate God's laws and God's commands. The issue was what the food represented. Some of that meat would have been unclean under God's law. Some of that wine would have been used in pagan worship before it ever made it to the table. So for Daniel, this wasn't like a preference thing. Hey, I want to be vegan, vegetarian, carnivore. No. This was about obedience. And he made it clear. No. This is where I don't cave. This is where I don't give in. This is where I don't bend the knee. This is where I don't compromise. See, that's what Solomon is getting at in Proverbs. When somebody entices you, when sinners entice you, when a person or an organization or a podcast or an influencer, when they're enticing you, make up your mind to say, no, I'm not going there. Wisdom, it's a verbal no, but it's not just a verbal no. When you're invited to join in, to participate, you're being sucked in, enticed in, it's also physical. You say no with your mouth, but you also say no with your feet. Solomon went on and said, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15, "My son, my child, don't go along with them. Stay away from their paths." In other words, don't just say no. Take a step back. Create distance. Put space between you and whatever it is that is trying to pull you in and suck you in. Why? Because proximity to something makes everything harder. The closer you get to something, the easier it is to say, okay, you can justify why it's not that big of a deal. It's easier the closer you get to just go along. But Solomon says, listen, this is why it's so dangerous to be so close and to go along with somebody. Verse 6, they rush to commit evil deeds and they hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows, stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. They're running towards evil. Full speed, no brakes, no pause. And Solomon says, hey, listen, even a bird is wise enough to know you don't get near a trap. A dumb bird is even smart enough to know to stay away from that. But far too many people, what do? They see a trap, and they just keep walking right to it. They'll tell themselves, it's not that big of a deal. oh, I can stand up here. I'll be different. I can handle this. I'm not going to go too far. The Bible says this, if you think you are standing firm, be careful lest you fall. Solomon says, this is how people wreck their lives. You don't wreck your lives just all of a sudden, all at once. It's step by little step, choice by little choice. And wisdom says, yeah, this moment, it might look fun. This moment, it might, you know, go along with the crowd. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have a good time. This person that I listen to online, I'm curious about. I'm curious about their angle and their perspective. And we just kind of go along and we think that's no big deal. But this is a dangerous place to go. And wisdom says, stay away from that. Stay away from those. To which some of you might say, well, hold on, Pastor. When I look at Jesus, he entered into these environments. When I look at Jesus, he hung out with sinners. Yeah, he did. But Jesus had a purpose. He wasn't with them because he was just bored on a Friday night. He's looking for something to do. No. He went into those environments on mission. Jesus wasn't being influenced. Jesus was influencing others. And that's a completely different mindset. And this is where every single one of us here, we have to make a decision. We have to do an honest evaluation in our own lives and ask ourselves, are we headed into a direction or into circumstances with people to be the influencer, or are we being influenced? Are we the one being the influencer in that, or am I being influenced? Am I there so that God can use me on mission to change the environment? Or is this environment changing me? That's a question every single one of us, we have to wrestle with in our lives. Jesus wasn't being influenced. He was the influence. So here's a simple way for you and I to think about Proverbs and the wisdom of this and how to think about it with all the people that are in our lives. I want you to imagine that everybody in your life would fit into one of three circles, the outer circle, the middle circle, and the inner circle. Wisdom for you and I is knowing who belongs in which circle. Knowing who belongs in what circle, but also knowing what is your mission within each of those circles. Let me run through these. First of all, you have your outer circle, if you will. These are the people that are farthest from you. These, you know, we might call them acquaintances, right? These are people that you see, but you don't really know. It might be that coworker you nod at. It might be the classmates that you see every day in school. It might be the barista who you go there all the time, so they know your order. It might be the neighbor that you wave at, but you just don't have any connection with them. The interaction, it's all very surfacey. Did you know God has a mission for you with those acquaintances? What's that mission? Your mission with this outer group circle, these acquaintances, is to pray for them. It's to plant seeds into their life. So we want to be asking ourselves, am I on mission with my outer circle? Am I on mission? Am I praying for them, planting seeds? Am I paying attention and being a quiet light in their life? Or am I ignoring them? Dismissing them. I'm just kind of passing through, like, yeah, they're around, but I don't give it any thought. God invites us to be on mission, to pray, to plant seeds with them. You have your middle circle, and that's really your casual relationships. And you have a variety. I have a variety of these relationships. These are people you're spending time with. You're grabbing lunch together, having a meal together, a barbecue together with them. You're sitting together with them at your kids' games or at their performances. You're probably communicating, texting together a little bit. You know what's going on in their life. They know a little bit about what's going on in your life. I would say this. This is that part of your sphere of influence that God has placed around you on purpose. Your sphere of influence is all this, your SOI, but this one in particular, these are the ones that you and I really need to lean into and press into. And we need to ask, am I being shaped by them or are they being shaped by me? And you need to look at yourself and honestly examine, am I on mission with my sphere of influence, these relationships that God has me surrounded with on purpose? Am I on mission purposely, intentionally trying to influence them towards Jesus? Are you praying for them? Have you sought to truly know their story? Have you tried to learn their word, their world, and you invite yourself into that world? If you've been through Rooted, you understand, hey, have you shared your story and what Jesus has done in your life? These are the ones you're inviting them to church. So you want to ask yourself, am I intentionally pointing this group of people closer to Jesus? Am I intentional and purposeful about it? Or am I just kind of enjoying the friendship? See, you don't want to just spend time with them. You want to make it count. You want to be on mission. You want to make it count for the Lord. God's called you and I to make disciples. You need to know, are they influencing your life or are you influencing them? But then you have that small circle, that inner circle. Those who are closest to you, your closest relationships, these are your go-to people, the voices that you're really, truly paying attention to. And by the way, again, usually it's physical, but nowadays with social media and with everything online, now it's not just someone you physically know. Oftentimes it's people you're listening to online. And so who is it that's speaking into your life when things get hard, when you have big decisions? See, the inner circle, they're the ones you call. They're the ones who are shaping how you think and how you live and how you respond in life. What does wisdom say? Wisdom says to you and I, not everybody belongs in this inner circle. Your mission, so to speak, with the inner circle is to let only the wise people speak into your life, into the depths of your life. Because whoever it is that's in that tight circle, birds of the of a feather flock together, whoever is in that tight circle, you better believe it, they have the greatest influence on your life. Perhaps the most important question that you could ask today is this: is there anybody in my inner circle who isn't making me more like Jesus? Is everybody in my inner circle making me more like Jesus? Or are there some who are slowly pulling me in the other direction? Proverbs says, guard this circle like your life depends on it. Why? Because it actually does. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else. Why? For it determines the course of your life. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5 says, corrupt people walk a thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life will avoid it. So Proverbs is telling us, guard your heart. Avoid corrupt paths. Avoid corrupt people. Be careful who you let into your life, who you let be close. Be careful who's in that inner circle. Because Proverbs says, your heart, it sets the direction of your life. And it's your relationships, that's what's shaping your heart, which leads to forming the direction of your life. So for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this: don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? And how can light live with the darkness? Another translation says it this way: stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. So, who you date, which circle is that? Well, that would be considered your inner circle. If you're dating somebody or you're giving advice to somebody who's asking you about dating, if it's you or someone else, and you say, hey, if they don't love Jesus, or they say they love Jesus, but their life doesn't reflect that, if you've given them the deepest level of access to your life, you're allowing access to the wrong voice. 2 Corinthians just told us it's inappropriate to team up with them. Same thing with those who are asking for help. those who are asking for advice. If a person is speaking into your biggest decisions in your life who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't follow Jesus, let me just ask you, is it wise to trust them with guidance in your life? If they don't have the same foundation as you have, as I have, they might be smart, they might be kind, but they don't share that same foundation. And so don't team up with them for wisdom, for advice. That's not wise. Maybe you're seeing a counselor and the counselor says, hey, if you're not happy, leave the marriage. Or they say, hey, your kids, you just need to allow them to explore their sexuality. Just let them figure it out. Listen, don't team up with them. That's not wise. The voices closest to you that you listen to, that you let into your life, they are shaping the direction of your life every time. And it's why Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 tells us, walk with the wise, because that's how you become wise. But if you are a companion of fools, you're going to suffer harm. You're going to suffer harm. If the people in that inner circle of your life, if they don't prioritize a relationship with Jesus Christ, if they don't prioritize church and serving and kingdom priorities, if they don't take sin seriously, over time, neither will you. Remember, what are we saying in this series? You want to know Proverbs because a Proverbs a day keeps the stupid away. And so sometimes one of the most spiritual things you can do is create distance, not in a harsh way, just in a wise way. Walk with those who are wise. That's how you become wise. You hang out with fools, Proverbs says you're going to suffer. Old Testament scholar Bruce Waltke says this. He says, a companion of fools is somebody who lets foolish people into their lives to shape their thinking, to form their habits, and influence their decisions. So here's the question you want to think about. Who right now is shaping your thinking? Who in your life are you allowing to shape your thinking? Who's in that inner circle? Who is part of and helping you and assisting you to help shape your habits? And who in your life is actually helping shape the decisions that you make? Who is influencing who? Who's in your circles? And are the right people in the right circles? Solomon's first piece of advice to his son, before he gets into talking about money or sex or business or work or success, before he gets into any of that, Solomon says to his son, son, here's where you start. You need to watch your circles. And you need to guard that inner circle. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, do not be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. So God is inviting you today. Take a look at your circles. Take a look at your circles. Is there anybody in that inner circle who frankly shouldn't be there? Is there a voice that you've given too much weight to? Is there a voice that's pulling you away from God? Is there a voice in your life that's pulling you away from what God's called you to be? If there is, do the right thing. Don't blow it up. Don't go crazy. Don't make a scene. Just move it. Put it in the right place. But you need to guard your heart. You need to guard that inner circle. Why? Because your life is way too valuable. Your future is way too important. Your walk with God is too significant to let the unwise voices speak into your life. You're not just choosing friends. You're choosing your future. So, would you be willing to walk with the wise so that you can be wise? And to look at your circles and to make sure everybody's in the right circle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you, God, for this just incredibly practical book. God, we're all being influenced, impacted, and affected. And God, you want to make sure that we're surrounded by people who care about us, who love us more than anybody else, and want what's best for us. And what's best for us is that we follow you and we obey your commands and we serve you. And so, God, as we evaluate our own lives right now, I ask that you just hear our prayers as we open our hearts to you. And I'll invite you right now, just take a moment, you and God. It's time to look at your circles. Let's talk about your outer circle, you and the Lord. Those acquaintances, are you on mission or have you been ignoring them? God invites you right now to say, God, I'm committed. I'll pray for them. I'll plant seeds. Look for opportunities to be a blessing to them. I'm done just turning my back on them or ignoring them or treating them like they're just somebody who's at a distance. I want to invite you to spend a moment with the Lord and look at your middle circle, your relationships, the variety of relationships you have. Talk to God about it. Are they influencing you or are you influencing them? Are you influencing them towards Jesus? That's your sphere of influence, your SOI, that God calls you to be on mission. That your greatest hope and prayer is that one day they all know Jesus. Would you make that commitment to be on mission with them? To be the leader, the influencer, not the influenced. And then would you take a moment, just you and God, heartfelt gut check. Who's in your inner circle? Is there anybody there who shouldn't be? And you've given way too much credibility to their voice. Or is there somebody in your life that you've turned your back on that has tremendous wisdom that you know they should be in that circle? Talk to the Lord about that. God, we want to be wise. So we say today, God, we'll walk with the wise. God, thank you for giving us the opportunity to impact the world, to make disciples. And as we turn our heart and our attention to Jesus, the greatest example of somebody who influenced rather than was influenced. His circle, they wanted him to rise up and overtake Rome, but he had a kingdom that was not of this world and it looked different. And God, I thank you that he stayed on mission. And right now, God, we come to this moment in our service, we're going to focus on that. We're going to remember that. We're going to remember Jesus' mission and how much he loves us. And God, my hope and my prayer is that draws us in, draws us close, inspires us to also live on mission for you. And so, Lord, we turn our attention to the cross now. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.